Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Saha Viryankaravavahai Tejasvinavaditamastama Vidyavishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
So page 129. Because the soul within the body is in the bodily conceptive life, he suffers happiness and distress. But these come and go. It is understood herewith that the kings born in the dynasty of Mithila were all liberated persons unaffected by the so-called happiness and distress of the world. So all these kings, they understood this. That's what they were practicing. So they were able to run the kingdom very well. Right? So one might think that the general tendency is to think, oh, if we were liberated, then we're beyond all these things. We're not attached to these things, so therefore we can't function in these things. But the point is when there's no attachment for something and you're doing it because of the duties, you can actually look at it in a very clear mind. You know, just like, let's say, for example, there's a person and they have a friend. And that friend, let's say, is having all kinds of personal issues, right? Doesn't know what to do, this and that, all these things. So he's very confused. But the friend who hears all the details and all that, is he confused? No, it's very straightforward. Oh, you should do this. It's that simple. Right? But the same thing happens to you, confused. Right? So that's the point. That's the Vedic system, is if you're unattached, then just like that friend can give you advice so clearly and easily, that's how clearly and easily you can do your duties. Because there's no attachment, so it's the most efficient system. But the modern, because of the concept of passion and ignorance, says that I'm only motivated because I want the results. Right? And if I don't want the results, I'll do nothing. So therefore, if I do things out of duty, I don't really want to do them, so I'm going to do a bad job. But if I'm passionate about it, not that, then I'm going to do. Yes, for someone in the mode of passion, in ignorance, passion is better to step up. That is true. The Vedic system acknowledges that. You're trying to get someone from ignorance into passion and passion to goodness. And then goodness to pure goodness. Right? So, yes, it can't be like this. But the whole point is these kings were so efficient at what they were doing and so good kings. Because they were unattached, they knew the transcendental science. So because of that, they could run things perfectly. This is the Vedic system. The mode of goodness, but if you're in pure goodness, then goodness goes well. And goodness means it's full of knowledge and detachment. So and duties, so one can do everything perfectly. So the material actually goes more perfect for the devotees than for the non-devotees. You know, so in other words, best is the devotees, then those who are followers of the Vedic system, then it's, how you say, potpourri. Mm-hmm.
Mahesh?
Yes.
When you say that if we are absorbed in Krishna, then we feel less distress. If we are absorbed in Krishna,
yes.
So we are less distressed. Then
it's actually we're more happy.
We're more happy, okay. So, it's like a stage of a samadhi where, the absorption is very much concentrated. And therefore, devotees say that, that is the reason why Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he took Babaji Vesh to have that more absorption, which was not possible while even doing the preaching. So,
People will say all these things, and so what's the point that they want to say about that? What do they want to establish?
We should follow
Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Yes. Means until you're once you get to be, you know, old age where you can't go out and travel around and preach anymore, you should be out there preaching all the time. He was constantly out traveling, preaching, not at home. Like that. So yes, they should take that example. And then when they get to that point, whatever, what age was he when he went out like that? So whatever is like that, and you've done a whole lifetime of nice service and all that of preaching, then if you want to sit down, then you can do that. But if they want to take the, I will sit down, then you should take what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said about that. Was it? What's it?
Dushtaman.
Yeah, Dushtaman. Kishir Vaishnava. Yeah, yes. That's for those who are saying what you just said. That's the example for them, not Bhaktivinoda Thakur. You know, in other words, if they're saying that, they can't do that. Priyavrata was running a kingdom as a Paramahamsa. So then, who said you can't do it? So you're saying that Bhaktivinoda Thakur was less of a Nitya Siddha as a Grihastha and preacher than he was as a Babaji. You know what I'm saying? So these are things to be said by people who think too much on the mundane platform and don't act enough on the spiritual platform. Because the point is, the preaching, you're preaching for who? Krishna. If you all you see in preaching is the externals and the cities and the roads and the cars and all the materialists, then that means you're not actually very advanced in seeing. Because it's all Krishna, it's all Krishna's energy. So you're using Krishna's energy for Krishna, so what'll be the problem? You're walking down Krishna's street to go to Krishna's program to speak about Krishna. Where is the problem? So that's why I say, people who say this, they're unqualified to do that because they are on the mundane platform. So sitting down, they will still be on the mundane platform. Means the person on the transcendental platform, he can sit down. It's not that by sitting down he came to that platform. Right? And what's the example to take from that? Oh, we should give up the preaching and sit down in that? No, you should give up grihastha life and sit down. Can't they get it right? Why is it always against the preaching, against the Vedic, against anything that we're supposed to do? So in other words, they're just seeing what's good for them. Oh, this preaching is a trouble. I just want to sit down and do nothing. And he sat down and did nothing with what? Nothing. He didn't have this whole entourage, this whole scene, this whole social, you know, thing going on. He just sat down. You know, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, he sat under a boat. That's an upside down boat, not a yacht in the marina. Yes, you know, just like Gaur Kishore sitting on my yacht. Yeah.
I would be good.
Yeah. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. We have to be very clear what the example is. He's showing, in other words, Bhaktivinoda Thakur showed how to be a, you know, grow up, family life, the responsibilities, do all your duties, your occupations, and be Krishna conscious, chant his rounds, write books, meet people, you know, and do everything very nice, and be the best at his job of anybody in the world's ever been. They've never had a district magistrate that could do what he has done, neither in the past nor up to present. You know, so he was the best in everything. He had 12 kids. It's not that he had one kid and, you know, that's it. And, you know, like that. He had 12 kids. So that means, you know, there's always the kid scene going on. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing. That, well, no one can say, oh, but he had a, you know, a simpler life and all that. No, he had like that. You can't say about his job. You can't say about his sadhana. Oh, well, he didn't do so much sadhana. He did so much sadhana. He slept from 8 to 12. Most people, 8 to 12, that's, you know, fun time. Yeah. Like that. But that's when he was asleep. Then he got up at 12, and then he was chanting his rounds and writing his books. And you know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing, is he showed how to do that. If you really want to do it, that's how to do it. Most people go to bed at what time and get up at what time?
8:30.
8:30 and get up at? 2:30. Okay. So that's 6 hours. Right? And you could say, oh, I can't sleep 4 hours like Bhakti Vinod Thakur. So 8:30. Then that would mean then 8:30 to 12. That's 3.5 hours of quality rest. And then to 2:30, that's 1 hour and 15 minutes. So that's 4 hours and 15 minutes. So you're getting 15 minutes more quality rest than Bhakti Vinod Thakur. But you're spending another hour and 45 minutes to get it. Does that make sense? So he's showing you, you want to balance all this? This is how it's done. So that's what you take from Bhakti Vinod Thakur. And then having done that, then he leaves it all totally and then just sits down in Puri and chants. So then that's what you take. Not, oh, he gave up his preaching and that, and as a preacher you couldn't get that taste. This is nonsense talk. I mean, pure nonsense talk. Maybe even pure unalloyed nonsense. That's not the example. Like that. You know, you could say, Prabhupada and his preaching, I mean, if they want, they can take that. One day for samadhi. That's it. He preached, he wrote, he guided, and only on the last day, then that's when he just didn't talk, just went into samadhi. You know, so that would be a little closer to what we did. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, I know of, it was even less of a day. They were doing kirtan, so it was just at night while he slept, and he just left before the next morning. So, you know, because for them, they're already in samadhi. It's just a matter of whether they interact with us or not. You know what I'm saying? You don't become an associate of the Lord unless you're on samadhi. It's not possible. Does that make sense? Because samadhi is perfecting the third stage out of five. Then you become an associate, or start to associate in the fourth stage. And then when that becomes permanent, then you're in the fifth stage. So that means the fifth stage already includes perfection of the third stage. So there's no time when they're not thinking of Krishna. Right. But it's not that they're, you know, in ecstasy rolling around on the ground. They can tell that you're there and they're talking to you and giving instruction. Okay? Yeah. Okay. So these kings were perfect kings because they were, you know, unattached. They were transcendental. Conclusion. If one has a strong desire to serve the Lord, even if he accepts a material body, there is no cause of anxiety, since a devotee, even in a material body, is a liberated soul. Because a devotee does not think like yogis and jnanis, who want to refuse the material body and become one with the impersonal Brahman effulgence. On the contrary, he will accept any body, material or spiritual, for he wants to serve the Lord. This is real liberation. Right? So liberation is that they end up with no body. And here it's that, you know, then it's about anybody. You know, it doesn't matter if it's material or spiritual. So we see it's the devotional is much more inclusive. Anybody is broader than nobody. Right? But Maharaj Nimi did not want to accept a material body, which would be the cause of bondage. Right? That's the doubt. Maharaj Nimi did not want to accept a material body, which would be a cause of bondage, because he was a devotee. He wanted a body by which he could render devotional service to the Lord, right? So he was saying that body will bind, but if there's a body that will facilitate devotional service, then he was quite happy with that. So then that's what he got at the end, right? So it wasn't that he didn't want a body. The material body, whether in the higher or lower planetary system, is destined to die. In the lower planetary system or lower species of life, one may die soon. And in the higher planets or higher species, one may live a long, long time. But death is inevitable. This fact should be understood. In the human form of life, one should take the opportunity to put an end to birth, death, old age, and disease by performing tapasya. This is the aim of human civilization, to stop the repetition of birth and death, which is mrityu samsara vartmani. This can be done only when one is Krishna conscious or has achieved the service of the lotus feet of the Lord. Otherwise, one must rot in this material world and accept a material body subject to birth, death, old age, and disease. Therefore, we should follow the instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mama janmani janmani shware bhavathad bhakti rahaitu ki twai. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Lila, 20:29, Shikshastika 4. It doesn't matter whether we accept a material body or a spiritual body. Our only ambition should be to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay. Going more for the void than the Brahman. Okay. Yes. Yes.
What about a parent doing his duty in raising their children?
Yeah, if he's not attached, he can do a lot better. That's why the Vedic system is they go to a gurukul, because then you have a parent who's dealing without attachment. Because at the home, then either you want too much, so you push too hard, or because of not wanting to disturb, you don't push enough. So to get the balance, that's why it's there. That's why then every child should have three parents. Right? So the mother, the father, and the teacher. That's the Vedic system. That'll work. So that attachment, that effort that's put in that first 5 years, then that gives them the basis of their whole understanding, means their personality, their understanding of religion, you know, the basic cultural dealings, and, you know, just how to be, you know, a nice human being. Then they get then how to use that and be conscious of that. Then that's done by the teacher. Then having completed that by the teacher, then again they function with the parents, who are now in a mature state or trained state. Now they can function within that grihastha ashram, and then therefore be able to perform the duties without that attachment, like that. So that's a Vedic system. See, is the modern concept is without passion, all go, because it's like if there's no passion, then it'll drop back to ignorance, because that's the only two options. It's binary. Modern society is binary, right? Passion, ignorance. It's so one or the other. So, but the Vedic is when we say giving up attachment means moving forward to goodness. That's what's not understood. So that's why it'll be thought that if I give up, I don't have that attachment, why would I do it? But we're moving forward to goodness, not from the impersonalist point of view. Even if we're looking at it more intellectually, it's not from the impersonalist that I don't want the result. Therefore, I don't make the endeavor that gives the effect. And, you know, there's no cause and effect. But it's that the duties are performed because they're supposed to be done, and the one's doing it from knowledge, so one can do it in very clear consciousness or clear perspective. Like that. So then, but it's by pure goodness that it can be done properly. Otherwise, there's plenty in the Vedic culture that are doing these things from goodness only, and they're not devotees. And we'll see on certain levels, on the form of it, we'll always take them as example. Like Daksha, about how he's committed to the Vedic and everything like that. That will take him as example. But his understanding of things in relation to the Lord and that, he's not an example. Or Duvasa, how, you know, austere he is and how knowledgeable, we'll take that. But on his realization, then we won't. So that's the thing, is those in goodness and those in pure goodness, then the activity will be the same. But the person in pure goodness will do a better job of it than the person in goodness, because they actually understand the connection with the Lord. Like that. So that's the misunderstanding, is that if we give up that passion, we'll move back into ignorance, because that's what will happen in the Western environment. Right? It means one has one's job, it's going great, one's out there, one's really going forward, and then one gets fired. So then he just goes and becomes a couch potato and drinks, and the boxes, the takeout boxes pile up on the coffee table. Like that. You know, so that's the whole thing, is that we move back. But the Vedic is, no, you move forward. So that's why in the Vedic you start with the Brahmacharya, because then you have a taste of how that works. So then that can be applied in Grihastha Ashram, and then Grihastha Ashram can naturally progress forward into that again. So that's all. So it's just that's it. Okay. Yes? Yes.
As a parent, like attachment means that we're self kind of centered on what we want. But affection is that you're giving them what's best for them.
Yes.
Yes. Help.
Yes, 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 yes. Because the attachment is based on the sense of possession. That's the difference between the teacher and the parent. There's no sense of possession. Right? So, therefore, one can deal differently. You understand? It's just like if we use the modern system, the boy and girl, they hang out together. Everything goes very nice. Every time they're together, it's wonderful. Why? Because there's no possession. But as soon as there's commitment or they get married, then there's possession. Then that's when everything goes strange. And they don't know why. What happened? You changed. You know, this and no, you changed. And, they both changed. Like this. Because that was added. That's why in the Vedic system, you don't put boys and girls together unless there's that sense of possession. Because then that's who you're going to... You're going to be living with the person with that sense of possession. Right? That's the whole thing. Because if you live without that, then you're never fully being yourself because you don't want to, you know, freak the other person out.
You understand? They spoil the fun.
Yeah. Okay. No, but at the same time is then the newness and freshness is also there. So, therefore, where basically in the modern, it kind of like life ends, that's when the Vedic, it begins. Because there's possession, but there is that newness and freshness and getting to know, but it's within the context of possession. So, therefore, you learn the possession from the best part. While in the modern, all the best part has been before, and there's no connection between the two. So that's the difference. That's why the Vedic is functioning in this way. Due to, you know, a poor fund of knowledge and the mode of ignorance, then people don't catch this and they think, no, this is not natural. That means this is what everybody looks for. If you say it's not natural for who? Right? It's not natural for someone in their mid-20s or late-20s or early-30s that have been through the mill and every relationship they've been through has been destroyed. And so for them to have that, but that same person when they were 8 years old, then, you know, it's all princes and princesses and unicorns and butterflies and rainbows, right? And Barbie and Ken, of course. But. Right? So that's the whole thing. If we're talking natural, that's natural. So the modern culture and all this naturalness has destroyed the actual natural nature. Right? So that's the thing, is that the Vedic is the only natural. Means you could say it's natural on the animal platform, but then the animals stay within their animalness. You know what I'm saying? You know, the dogs all get together, you know, twice a year and, you know, and snarl at each other and, you know, and then the rest of the time they're best of friends. So that's the thing is, yes, if you want to get into animal, but then which animal? And since none of the animals will actually work well with the human form, therefore no animal life doesn't work. So the only thing that actually works is human life. And then that's what the Vedas say. And try as you like. You know? Does that make sense? The girls that from an early age have been out on the road available, how many of them are married? That one's the real kicker. The ones that from 12 are out there trying to get attention, trying to catch the boys from 12, how many of those girls are married? And then the other ones that just did what they were supposed to do, and then they grew up, came a marriageable age, they're getting married. That's reality. And I know that will not be palatable or digestible by anybody, but that's the fact. That's the fact that no one wants to address. Because we're here, you know, but we're in the modern culture. We're here in Mayapur. There's no one here except Bengalis. And there's a good chance whoever's saying all that stuff is not moving with the Bengalis. So therefore, it's all artificial. It means, in other words, the Western culture is our consciousness. There is no one from outside. There are no karmis coming and harassing us. as I'm saying.
So, like the ghost family.
Huh?
Like the ghost family from Bengali.
That's a different point. Slightly different. So that's where he's saying the Vedic works, that's human life, that's what's recommended. We may not be very good at it, but we're not very good at anything. So even if we take the modern, we won't be very good at it. You know, but we take the Vedic and then we're not good at it, but if we keep practicing within, you know, with time we'll get good at it, but we have to be committed to it. Then we'll get somewhere. Does that make sense? So that's why then, as you said, Friti Mishai made that point, is that if we can break these two, then we can work with it. Because in the modern, it's all just one mishmash. On the Vedic, everything's broken down. That's why we see is that on all these lists here, we show the breakdown of how he did as a king, how he dealt with the family, how he would deal with citizens, how he deal with those who are senior, how he deal with those who are junior, all those different things. And that's how then they're able to, as humans, they're able to function, because they're using the intelligence. That's the uniqueness of the human, is how they can use the intelligence in that way. Like that. The animals are intelligent. They're really sharp. But they only know how to eat, sleep, make, and defend in their own way. So they're good at it. So the Vedic systems, how can the human, using their intelligence, then be successful? And then we see it works. Those who apply it, it works nicely. Like that. So then that, like you said, that makes it easier. Because as Prabhupada mentioned, it said, basically, he was saying, why do the boys go to the Gurukul? Because the mother's attached. And so, therefore, in her mind, what's the need of going to the Gurukul? He'll just stay at home forever. Right? And then, but it's pointed out, because in the Vedic system, it's considered uncultured if your child hasn't gone to the school and been trained. Therefore, that out of the social stigma, the mother would send the kid to the school. Like that. Because if she didn't, everyone would complain. Oh, your kid's not getting trained, you know. You're like this. You know, like Samba. He stayed more with his mom, so he got the name Samba. You know, Saamba, with mother. Right? All the other boys were out earlier and being trained, but he stayed at home longer. You know, or what was his name? Nadi Kavicha? The king, who was always surrounded by women. So because of that, he was protected, and Parasaram didn't kill him.
That's coming up now.
Oh, that's coming up. Okay, yeah, good. That's it. So, oh, we distracted ourselves from the distraction. Yeah, but the main point is that's why these things are all given and broken down for us and shown how these devotees use them, so that we can have an advantage to see how to practically apply all this philosophy into our life. Because the platform of Manamoy is the philosophical platform. We take it that philosophy starts, okay, with, you know, liberation of Vijnanamoy or Anandamoy, but actually philosophy starts with Manamoy. That's the philosophical platform, that we do things because. Oh, we were saying now, there. So Prabhupada said because of that they send the kids. So we see is that when it was the thing is kids go to Gurukul, everyone went to Gurukul. But when it became the popular thing is no, you send your kid to Gurukul means you don't care. If you cared, why would you send? Then no one sent their kid. Then when people start using their brain again, then they see, okay, there's an advantage and this and that. They use discrimination. Then they start sending again. So that's the whole thing, is when the human uses that higher intelligence and it sees its practicalness in the culture. In other words, the philosophy is applied into the culture. So Varnashram is considered philosophy. We take it as like practical things or it's theory, but it's philosophy on how the transcendental reality connects down into our position and then how we can do something about it. So when we use our intelligence there, that's when human life takes off and it becomes much more easy for us. Does that work? Yeah? Okay. So now, so the next volume, this is what? 14 through 24. Table of Contents. Chapter 14. Yes. Philosophy means you actually understand why you're doing something.
Mm-hmm.
Means there's a fundamental law or you know truth behind everything, and then how that truth connects to the practical application in your position. So in the modern, we use that contemplation as speculation on for sense enjoyment. In the Vedic, they use it for elevation, to get oneself to the transcendental position. So it's the same process. So just like in the modern, we'll take people who are thoughtful to be more, as long as they're successful. If they're thoughtful and not successful, we'll just say that you know it's just theory. But the Vedic is that the processes they use work, and they're thoughtful. So they have both aspects. Otherwise, in the modern, that's kind of rare. So the idea is that you understand how, okay, if Krishna is the supreme controller, that means I'm not the controller. That means then I'm not in control of what should be done. It's actually Krishna's control. How is he controlled? Through the three modes of nature, right? That's the laws. So that means I should function with the three modes of nature according to what Krishna says I should be doing. So therefore, if I'm a grihastha, these are the laws that are there for me. And if I follow them, I'll be a successful grihastha. And if I don't follow them and make up my own laws, since I'm not the supreme controller, they won't work. Because if they did work, if mental speculation and the modern approach worked, then the first world would be the most wonderful, opulent, perfect place to live. But we see is that the only places that are perfect to live are the ones that are God-conscious, like Ramraja. So for all it is, it's not. It means those who are thought more intellectual, they'll sit back and find fault, that it's not working. But they fall short in finding fault because they're still working on the premise that I'm the controller and enjoyer. So they're only showing the fault that is there and how they're not becoming the controller and enjoyer. No one's actually becoming happy. But they don't take it to the point, they don't take it far enough that the methods they're using are bogus. Yes, that part's good. But then they give alternative bogus methods and that doesn't make it any better. But it's a matter of it moves forward into God consciousness. And because it moves into God consciousness, that's where it works. Does that make sense? Yeah. Does that make sense? So, in other words, one can use whatever he wants to use. The individual uses whatever method they want to use. And the Vedic has a method that's considered the best, that's recommended because it's in the mode of goodness. If one, by habit, wants to use methods in the mode of passion, ignorance, one can use them if one's comfortable with them. But the problem is they will give the effect that they give. Does that make sense? So one can say we're not in a position to follow these things, we have to follow more of a model. Follow it. You're comfortable with it. But know that the results it will give will be within that modern context. So there are some people who it works nice, because we're so used to statistics. 90% of the people then, you know, get this. That's great if you're in the 90%. What if you're in the 10? Then you have a problem. Right? So that's the difficulty, is that it may be, but then how long does it work? Down the road, how does it work? Right? You know, the parent doing what they want to do, being themselves, not losing a beat. Wow, you know, you had your kids and you still do all the stuff that you do and all that. And yeah, I know we found a great nanny and all this and that. And like that. But how do they have a nanny? Because she got this husband, you know, he's a lawyer, has a great job like this. And socially, you know, situated, they have a great house and all this kind of thing. So looks like it's all happening and they got the life, the perfect life. But then when they get old, where will they be living? In that house with their children or in an old age home?
On their will.
That's another thing. Does that make sense? So then what's happening is that they don't know. So it works in the immediate, that's the meaning of motor passion. It gives immediate benefit, but in the long run it gives a bad one. Well, the mode of goodness is bitter in the beginning and it's sweet at the end. So the problem is in modern culture, there, except for rare cases, there in old traditional things, there's no bitter. Right? In modern diet, there's no bitter. There is bitter, but the people who take it, these are older guys, like Italian guys that take straight, espressos with nothing in it. That's bitter, or they have their bitters. I think it's Sweden, they're into bitters, right? So like that. But they take that with alcohol. So it's kind of like the bitter is good for the liver and the alcohol destroys the liver. So does that like, neutralize it and then your liver just stays ordinary?
It stays.
It stays, yes. You know what I'm saying? So there's no bitter. Of all the preparations of Lord Chaitanya's, the bitter is generally the least appreciated. Like that. But that was, shukta was his favorite. That, spinach. Spinach is also counted as a bitter. Slightly bitter, but it's there. So that's the whole thing. We're not used to bitter, that it's good for you. Before, yes. But now, pills, I don't know, they just taste like poison. They don't. Same smells, same. I'm not sure what they do, but they all smell the same, all the pills.
It's the same fish.
It's the same pill. Okay, it's the same pill, so therefore, they just make it different colors, Yeah, and like make it round, make it square, make it, make it heart shape, like that. So, different ones.
Because you mentioned in a few places that anamoy and granamoy is not in the philosophical platform.
No. Yeah. Means people make philosophies out of it, but, what is it? Do from it. Who's that guy we figured out? Descartes?
Yeah,
real philosopher. he bona fide, like that. His beret, sit in the, what do you call it, in the coffee shop?
Oh, no, that's Camus.
Sartre. Okay. Yeah, Sartre. Real debauchee. He's like A class debauchee. Like that. So he made up a philosophy to for his, debauchery, to say it's bona fide. So the thing is, but that's not philosophy because that's not the reality. He just puts it in good words. How you say it? Like ethnic cleansing. Sounds so inviting. Hey, why don't you come over to my place? We're having ethnic cleanse this evening. Oh, wow, great. How should I dress? Like that.
Something flammable.
It's not grounded in Dharma. Dharma is the philosophy of life. Then you have your tattva behind that. So tattva just means this is how things are, the reality. And then Dharma means how that same philosophy, how you apply that into your position to make it effective to get yourself to that transcendental place. Does that make sense? So that's why sad-dharma means devotional service. And then if you just, dharma in general just means the inherent nature of the soul is service to Krishna. So in that way we can just say dharma. But if we're trying to distinguish between devotional services, dharma, and the same activities without devotional service, that'll be dharma and sad-dharma. Or varnashram and daiva-varnashram. But when we're just talking varnashram, we mean daiva varnashram. But if we're distinguishing, then we'll say. Does that make sense? Yes.
All right, in a previous class, you mentioned that culture is a manifestation of philosophy.
Yes.
Now you mentioned that dharma is a manifestation.
It means it's the philosophical platform because you have to use the philosophy to make it work. Just like Mataji was saying. The attachment is there. There's a reluctance. At the same time, the intelligence says one thing, the mind says another, and so then she's advised that if you understand there's these two parts to it, then it will make it. There's the attachment, and then there. What was the other?
Affection.
So affection means you want the best. An attachment is just it's yours. That sense of that security is just it's there, like that. So if it's at the school, it's not there. You can't control it. But out of affection, it can be at home or at the school, and that works. So it's actually the affection is the higher principle and the attachment is the lower. Right? Because the attachment's yourself and the affection is about the other person. So that's the application, that's what we mean by applying philosophy and getting work. That's the Vedic culture, is that the philosophy makes it work. So it's practical. As we see, is that what's his name? Hiranyakashipu, he used philosophy in applying in the family with the loss of his brother. And then we see Kamsa after he tried to kill Durga Devi, and she said, you know, you're a fool, he's born somewhere else. And so then he released Vasudeva and Devaki. And then he gave all nice philosophy, first-class philosophy, like that. But his only purpose was that they wouldn't be angry with him. Right? So in other words, they're using it, the philosophy works great to get your material purpose. Right? On the lowest level. So the Vedic is you're supposed to try to elevate yourself. But you're actually, and then better is that as liberation, but the actual point is devotion. So the philosophy is there to bring us to that point. So the philosophy, that's Varnashram, it's where it can connect into practical application. Then it works. Right? Because if you look at it, okay, once a parent, as a parent, one's supposed to save the child from death. How do you do that? Through training. So therefore, by going to the Gurukul, you get trained. That saves them from death. That means, as a parent, that is my duty. But at the same time, I'm attached. So then if you look at it, well, attachment, you know, but they're both good. And of the two, the attachment seems to be the stronger. But if you look at it, but the point is the attachment's about yourself. Well, the affection part of it is about the other. So therefore, as a parent, it's natural to think about the other. So then it's natural to go with the affection rather than the attachment. Does that make sense? So in other words, they go into the school with affection. They come out of the school with attachment. That makes sense? Not the kid. I'm saying, that means the parent puts the child in the school from affection. They take them out of the school, out of attachment. You know, that's... Not when he graduates. When he graduates, then you get both. You have affection and attachment. That works nice. That's what we're saying. Wait till then you get both. But otherwise, then it's you get one or the other. So yeah. Okay. Well, we're good? I guess.
So Maharaj, is philosophy the same as metaphysical?
The philosophy the same as metaphysical. It appears here, it includes the metaphysical, but you don't necessarily have to refer to it. You just means metaphysical is used when just connecting directly the transcendental to the physical or in gross and subtle doesn't work. You know, there's too much attachment to it, so then you use the metaphysical to break it down. So the Shankhya, in other words, basically is that when there's too much attachment to the secondary creation, then you use the primary creation to break it down. And if that doesn't work, then we use the avyakta. You know, it's just earth. It's just atoms. You know, it's like that. It's just atoms. So we're saying it's so many values, but it's just atoms of earth. It's been made into, like the example of the pot. You take the pot, make it, and you take the clay, make it into pots, but the pots are just earth. But because of the form, then we get attached to that and things like that. And so explain, no, but then there's the principle of that, so there's the original pot. And so that means the original pot is for serving Krishna, so that means this pot, which is made in that image of the original pot, should be used in that way, but we don't catch it, then it's just earth. We're saying, oh, it's so valuable, but it's just earth. Does that make sense? Yeah, because that's the whole point. So, are you saying? The bone has been sitting there for, you know, 1.3 million years and all that, and people are jumping up and down and so attached and this and so many things, and papers are written. But if a dog gets a hold of it, it'll just go out and gnaw on it and bury it out in the backyard. It's just a bone. That's the whole thing. You know, so it's just earth. So then the whole thing is, how does that happen? How does that attachment come? How do all these things come? That's when we'll use the metaphysical. So in other words, if just, okay, you do this, it pleases Krishna, and we do that, then there's no need. But if that attachment is there, then the metaphysical comes in handy, because by breaking it down, things lose their interest.
Analyzation.
Yes, the analyzation. In other words, how you say, talking too much ruins the moment. Yeah. So in other words, that's the whole point. We have plenty of talk, and we can ruin so many moments. Like that. So, like that. Okay.
Maharaj?
Yes.
Does homeschooling build a character of the child?
Does homeschooling means you could say homeschooling, if the parents have a strong environment, then homeschooling will help. Specifically girls, but it means what we were discussing before with boys.
For the boys,
it'll be nice that if the parents are nice, that means, in other words, they'll come out like the parents. The only thing is they'll the sense of detachment and that won't be very strong from them. They don't know what it is, so there's no context. So that means vanaprastha, there's not much context.
The pratyeka will be missing.
Yeah. Where in their life have they ever been detached? Where in their life have they ever been not dependent on women? You know what I'm saying? So therefore, vanaprastha means they're still dependent on women. Well, the idea of vanaprastha is you become independent.
And for girls?
For girls, then the whole point is that they're still dependent upon the husband. Or they're dependent upon the children.
Okay.
So it still works for them. So in that environment, because the point is the girls are conscious. Boys don't become conscious in the home. That's why there's a difference. Girls in the home, they're conscious of everything. But boys in the home, they're conscious of nothing except for when there's something to eat. Like that. But, you know, how much effort went into it, how much... One day was actually shocked talking with one devotee, and his wife, a very excellent cook, and some discussion was there to cook some, you know, very traditional ethnic preparations. So they cooked the lady and the sister, they cooked this 20 preparations, you know, like very traditional, and what order you eat it in and all this amazing thing like that. And then afterwards, somehow in the discussion, the husband, he could not understand why it took so long. In his mind, cooking means you walk into the kitchen and in 15 minutes you have something to eat. You know, you walk into the kitchen, you take a can of, you know, Campbell's soup, you know, pour it out into the pot, heat it up, or take a, you know, a can of, what do you call it, you know, SpaghettiOs or something, pour that out into the pot, and then heat it up, and, you know, or put a, what do you call it, what are those things, the Pop-Tart, you know, in the toaster, you get that, you know, did I miss anything, you know, I mean, we're not talking about what you do, open the fridge and take out and drink, you know, because that only takes, you know, 10 seconds. Huh? 7.5 seconds.
Yeah, you don't even need a copy. Just
yeah, you know, just straight from the thing and then put it back, right? So, had no concept. Absolutely nothing. Like that. And yeah. So he had no idea that to cook that meal, that was hours and hours of work, preparation, planning. He had no idea. And that was, he grew up, I remember he was telling a story that once he was there, they were at the dinner table, And mother was like serving some things, and father made some comment about, you know, the arrangements or stuff like that, and you know, it's not a big deal or that. I guess it must have been breakfast or that. And the mother just poured a jug of milk straight over the father's head. So he didn't catch it that, well, maybe there's something more going on here than he understands. So then there, as he's married, then he's making the same stupid comments. Just as, that would have been...
Yeah,
20 years later, maybe more. Like that, still didn't catch it. So that's why boys in the home, the tendency is they don't become conscious. That doesn't mean they don't learn their knowledge, learn the skills, you know, whatever they're interested in. And focus, but actually the social things like that, they don't become necessarily so strong unless there's some environment in which that can be done. That's why before they'd go out, build a barn, you know, plow the fields, harvest, go to the army, you know, these kind of things would be the Western equivalent to you know, kind of gurukul. Hunting, go out hunting also. Does that make sense? But if they just sit at home all day on the computer all day, you know, literally hear one-eyed guru actually is teaching you something, so, you know, then there's going to be that weakness. Therefore, you see, you know, the Hindus, nice guys, really nice gentlemen, takes care of the family really nicely, but can they ever kind of renounce and pull out of it? No, that's why. That's why. But they're nice people, really gentle, really considerate, caring, like that, because the mothers taught them properly. But that other part, that they can't do. So because of possession, then he's always around. That makes sense. Yeah. Yes.
Talking about boys, you know, learning to become conscious by moving into the Gurukul.
Yes.
But what about someone who didn't have the good fortune of growing up in a Krishna conscious family and who moves into a Brahmachari ashram, say?
But this Brahmachari ashram is still the same thing. You learn that, you know, there's more. How you say? Not necessarily. It's just a matter of putting in the time. So if the people in the ashram, the point is, it's just the quality of the ashram training. If people in the ashram understand the lifestyle of ashram and the refinedness within there, then you can get the same benefit. Right. No. It's just later. In other words, when you should be able to apply it, now you're learning it. That's the advantage in human life, because it's based on intelligence. Whenever you apply it, it'll work. So even if the man hasn't had any of that, he's been through grihastha life, he's up to vanapras, but he gets some proper association that understands the ashram and understands that independence, he can actually even at that point develop it. But the point is the older it is, the harder it is. That's all. But it's not that it can't be done. If you're determined, I mean, if Maharaj Kadvanga could become fully realized in a moment, then, you know, one can get that benefit. It's just recommended. Why? Because the children, it doesn't bother them. The simple lifestyle doesn't bother them, because the reason they have so many socks and this and that's because their mother. They wear the same socks and pants and everything every day. They absolutely, and most of that they wouldn't wear, because what's the need of it? Right? You know, it's cold out, it's not freezing, so we don't need a jacket. Right? It's mommy insists on the jacket. Right? You understand? So that's the whole thing, is that they would just, what works, that's all they would use. You know, especially if they have to take care of it, then the whole point, see, mommy gets a whole ton of stuff and then you have to take care of it. That's a problem. But here it's how much you use is all you have to take care of. You can relate. Brahmacharis can relate to that. Right? So it can be done. It's just easier when you're younger than when you're older. Right? Like that. Because when you're younger, just by association you gain so much. Then when you get older, you can intellectually you can appreciate why it's there. And then you value it. While as an adult, you'd have to go through it from the intellectual platform. Get the mind to accept, then apply yourself, then get the realization and the value. But it can be done. It's not a problem. That's why I was saying, any of these things can be done at any time. It's just that the earlier you start, the easier. Right? You know, it's just like you're saying, girls have been crazy, but when they decide not to be crazy, then they can make it work. You know, just like, what's his name? Vatsyayana mentions that there have been in history many prostitutes who have been very good wives. Like that. Just somehow or another a prostitute for whatever reason. And then at some point some man comes along and says that he'll take care of them. And then they take up and they become very good wives. So it can be done. It's just not recommended. So that's why the Vedic system is there. Is that it is... that it's the system, the natural system for human life. So a human being, one with the human form, if he commits to the human lifestyle, it will always work. But it's just a matter of how much they commit, the proper, what kind of association they have, how much they apply themselves, then they'll get that benefit because it's the natural position. You know? Just like the fish, it's out of water, you can say, but it's been out of, but you put it back in the water, it's just, it's natural. So that's the whole thing. Does that make sense? So that's the Vedic system. It's just like, can you ride a bicycle when you're older? Let's say you're 40, okay? You can learn, but there'll be, you know the dangers, so you're a little less inspired, though other kids, they don't know the dangers, couldn't care less. You know, in fact, it was fun running off the ditch and going out into the bush, you know, like that. And then running away before, you know, Mr. Smith came out yelling and screaming with his, you know, shotgun that's full of salt, right? You know, so it's all part of the fun. So the whole point is now, let's say he rode the bicycle when he was young and then stopped riding the bicycle and never rode it again until he was 40. How difficult is it to ride the bicycle? Not at all. So that's the whole point. As a brahmachari, then when it comes to vanaprastha, it's not difficult. You just click back. You may have forgotten about it, but as soon as you do it, it all comes back. So that's the Vedic system. If you've done it all nicely there, you can come back to it. Does that make sense? So, yeah. Okay. We're good. Okay, so very, how you say, very engaging table of contents. And we only said table of contents. Speaking of, okay, John. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Govardhana.